This is All Things Considered on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Peter Biello. As average rainfall increases, the culvert becomes an increasingly important part of our infrastructure. These pipes that run under roads allow easy passage for rivers or streams too small to merit actual bridges, but poorly constructed or too small culverts could pose huge transportation problems in the event of what my guest David Brooks calls wicked heavy rains. David is a reporter for the Concord Monitor and writer at graniteGeek.org. David, welcome.
Glad to be here.
So you were inspired to write about culverts in New Hampshire because the state is looking at improving many of them in the state. So what problems are they trying to avoid?
So the problems they're trying to avoid basically is having them get blown out by overly heavy rains, by flooding, which happens every now and then, and when it happens, it's really bad. I've always been attracted to writing about culverts because they're so incredibly boring.
Why would you be attracted to them?
Well, there's something appealing about trying to find the interesting in the mundane, and you can't get much more mundane than a culvert. And yet, if you've ever been in a road near me, the culvert failed, and so it took them for a year to get to it because you got to have the budget, the annual budget, and all that kind of stuff. So for a year, everybody had to drive, miles out of their way. It was a bad thing. And there is a bigger issue actually about culverts is that they are kind of on the front line of climate change for us here in this part, in the central New Hampshire at least. The seacoast has other issues, of course, but culverts are likely to be like the one piece of infrastructure that you're really going to see get hurt by climate change, because climate change is increasing the number of extreme precipitation events. Lots of, heavy rains that cause flooding or droughts on the other side. And culverts have been sized over the years. Road agents and towns have learned that, I need a culvert this big on this creek and I need a culvert that big on this creek. And all of a sudden the creek here and there is having twice the cubic feet per minute that it used to. Two times a year, and that's going to start eating away the soil around the culvert. Next thing, hey, presto, it's gone. So that's the issue. And this is actually, I was prodded by a project that's taking place within the Piscataquag watershed, 11 towns, the water district. They're trying to set up a model that will help prioritize which culverts need repair.
Well, tell us about the prioritization. How do they determine which culverts need the most urgent attention?
Well, it's a function of a number of things. One is that, what condition is the culvert in? So most culverts, frankly, are metal pipes. If you're lucky, it's got concrete around it. Most of them are just metal pipes surrounded by dirt with the pavement up on top. And so, if, the pipe is already collapsing or last year it already backed up three times because it couldn't handle the flow, that gives you a certain number of points on whether it needs to be replaced or not. And other factors, obviously, are how important the road is. You don't want to have a culvert blowout that, now you can't get to the fire station. To complicate it but make it more interesting, there are environmental issues with culverts, which frankly was driving a lot of the research almost before the climate change came along.
Environmental issues, you mean what the culverts do for fish?
What they do for aquatic life in general. So and a culvert is, it's a way for the water to pass through, but it's a way for also everything that lives in the creek or the stream to pass through. And there's generally a lot more stuff in these little creeks than we think. I actually know somebody used to go into the deep woods in part of the Piscataquag watershed and didn't find trout living in these creeks that you didn't even know was a creek hardly. But it doesn't work if culverts sort of divide up the creek into pieces. So if a culvert is just a pipe that's too high up, so it's above the bed of the stream, then the fish can't move up and down the stream, and neither can any other kind of life that has to sort of climb up into the pipe and climb down again. And so if you have a couple of culverts on a stream, which is not at all uncommon, and each one of them is crummy, you've basically divided the stream up into these little unconnected segments, and the amount of life that they can support, the ecosystem they can support, is much less. It's like a dam on the Merrimack. It's very similar. The dams on the Merrimack prevent the fish moving up and down. Well, culverts on a little creek can do the same thing. So part of the idea is to replace culverts that are blocking movement of life up and down the waterway. At the same time, you make them more resilient to higher waters because they won't get blocked by sediment. A lot of sediment gets moved around when there's heavy rains. That can clog up a culvert and the water backs up and starts flowing over the road and washes away the pavement, and hey presto. Then if you can do both at once, make it easier for the fish and make it safer in case of heavy rains, then that's obviously a good thing to do.
And the economic argument you present in your column this week is that it costs less to build a good culvert now than to have to pay for cleanup when a poorly constructed culvert fails.
Of course, that's an easy argument to make, but, you know, if you were going before town meeting and you're saying, you know, we want, you know, the $100,000 to replace this culvert, and somebody stands up and says, what are you talking about? I know the last time you replaced it only cost $30,000. You're saying, well, this time instead of a metal pipe, we want to put in a larger pipe with a flat bed that's lower because it's better for the fish. You know, that's a tough thing to sell at town meeting. So this economic argument is correct, you know, in the objective sense, but it's sometimes a little hard to pitch when you got to pay the tax bill.
Well, David, thank you very much for telling us all about culverts.
All about culverts. It's nothing but excitement here at NHPR.
That is David Brooks. He's a reporter for the Concord Monitor and the writer who feels geeky bliss every time he drives over a well-constructed culvert at graniteGeek.org.